And now for a look at international news. The UK is hosting a conference on the illegal wildlife trade, and an American pastor will appear in a Turkish court. To tell us more about these stories and others, I'm joined by the BBC's Puna Gudusi from London. So Puna, let's start with a court case in Russia involving social media. What's the story there?
Yes, Lauren, 25-year-old Maria Motuznaya will be appearing in court again tomorrow. She's a Russian woman in Siberia who posted several memes on the Russian social networking website, which is called VKontakte. Just to give you an idea, one of her pictures, for example, is of a bunch of women dressed as nuns, huddled together, smoking sneaky cigarettes, with the caption saying, "Quick, while God isn't looking." Such posts and others have landed her in serious legal trouble, though, after two people complained that they were offensive to their religious beliefs. She was charged with extremism, a charge that's usually used for neo-Nazis and Islamist militants and the likes, and she could face up to 6 years in prison.
6 years in prison? That's remarkable. How are Russian people reacting to all of this?
Well, Olga Robinson, my BBC colleague who monitors Russian websites usually, tells me that there's been outrage, and a lot of it, directed at the police.
It has been massive, the reaction. There has been a lot of anger and a lot of criticism of the authorities, of the way people are treated on social media and for their social media activity. There have been even calls for people to delete their accounts on VKontakte. This network has been accused by several hundreds of people, very prominent bloggers as well, of being somehow in cahoots with the authorities and basically helping the authorities to jail people for their social media activity.
Russian police have actually brought over 400 cases against social media users in 2017 alone. The reactions to this have been strong enough to push the country's president, Vladimir Putin, to introduce an amendment to the law to restrict who can be charged with extremism. The bill has not been ratified yet, though, but some people are already hoping that this could mean that the case against Maria Motuznaya could be dropped with something like an amnesty, because if not, she may end up for years in prison.
All right. And on Thursday, the UK government is hosting a conference on the illegal wildlife trade. What's going to be the big topic of discussion there?
Illegal wildlife trade threatens to make some of the planet's most extraordinary species extinct, as I'm sure you probably know. It's the fourth largest transnational crime in the world, after drugs, weapons and human trafficking. As Britain prepares to host this event on Thursday, it's just announced a promise of an additional almost $8 million as well to counter the poaching trade. This extra funding is supposed to help protect at-risk species like elephants, rhinos and pangolins. The illegal trade in ivory is largely responsible for the precipitous fall in elephants' numbers. But as long as the ivory remains popular, the criminal gangs will keep hunting for them. The BBC's John Simpson explains.
Back in the 90s, things were actually getting better. Governments were working together more efficiently. And then, around 2009, it all started going wrong again. There are two likely causes: the global financial crisis and China's increasing involvement in Africa. From time to time, some African governments collect huge piles of tusks and set fire to them.
We now have better technology, better tools to stop the poachers, to intercept the ivory on its way abroad, and to capture such criminal gangs. But one question is, what is more effective, really? Focusing on punishing the criminals or reducing the demand for ivory, like making a culture change?
China banned the sale of ivory earlier this year, though. Has that made any difference?
Campaigners say China's done the right thing, of course, but it's too early, they say, to see if it is working. There's concern that the illegal trade has only shifted to other Asian countries now, where it is still legal. On top of that, ivory is not the only reason for killing elephants. There's also a trade in elephant skin, which means any elephant, with or without tusk, can be at risk.
All right. And on Friday, another court appearance, this one for an American pastor who's being held in Turkey.
Yes, you may have heard a lot about him in the news recently, Lauren. Andrew Brunson is an evangelical pastor originally from North Carolina. He's been held in Turkey on charges of supporting terrorism. The Turkish president himself accused him of having, and I'm quoting here, dark links with terror, without providing any details for that. Mr. Brunson himself denies the charges. The issue has caused controversy between the U.S. and Turkey. You may recall President Trump announced sanctions against Turkey and the Turkish lira The Turkish currency took a massive hit in August, damaging the Turkish economy. Mr. Trump is demanding Pastor Brunson's release, but Turkey is also demanding that the U.S. turn over the exiled cleric Fethullah Gülen, who Turkey blames for plotting a coup to overthrow President Erdogan. For now, neither side seems to be budging.
But the U.S. and Turkey are allies, right?
They are, Lauren. This is just one of the issues that has caused a diplomatic spat recently. They're both NATO members and therefore supposed to be allies. But the Turkish president has also been recently working more and more closely with the Russians, especially in the Syria war. Turkey has also sent troops into Kurdish territory over the summer, where Kurdish groups were aligned with the U.S. fighters, together fighting IS militants. For now, Turkey's president, Mr. Erdogan, says that it is up to the courts to determine Mr. Brunson's fate, not the politicians. So we'll have to be hopefully one step closer to finding out what that fate could be on October the 12th this week.
All right. The BBC's Poona Gudusi. Poona, thank you so much as always.
Great talking to you again.